remember last week we began the Hakdama to the Chayus Havom Shara Bitochem. The Chayus Havom was in his introduction doesn't so much talk about the science of Bitochem. It does not discuss how it is that you become a bigger Baal Bitochem or what exactly you have to be Boiteach in. He doesn't talk about any of that. Rather, he attempts to pique our interest in becoming a Baal Bitochem. And this is for the reason that we explained last week, that essentially it's not actually a mitzvah. It's not one of the Tariag mitzvahs to be Boiteach Bashem. The Chodesh Havom, therefore, cannot begin his Shar HaBitochen by saying you must be Boiteach Bashem, because that is not accurate, because it's not a mitzvah. Therefore, he has to therefore get us interested and explain to us why we want to be a Baal Bitochen. And this is really about the Hakdom is all about. He's explaining to us the various different te'eles in Ruchnias and Gashmias of being a Baal Bitochen. And if you think about it, there are so many psukim that really illustrate this point. When you talk about Boruch HaGever Asher Yivtach Bashem, the post that we say every day, Boruch HaGever, blessed is the person, he leads a blessed life. Ashrei Odom Boiteach Boch, praiseworthy is the person who is Boiteach Bashem. There are many, many psukim that sound just like that. Boruch HaGever, Ashrei HaGever, the relaxed, calm, tranquil life of the Boiteach Bashem, which, as we will see, has many, many different te'eles, which would therefore make us interested in becoming the Baal Bitochem. But ultimately, it's not a mitzvah, and therefore that's why the Chovos HaAvodos must explain to us why it is that we would like to be interested in becoming Baal Bitochem. Now, you remember from last week, we defined what Bitochem was. The Chovos HaAvodos tells us that Bitochem, although it's perhaps sometimes defined or translated as faith and trust, none of those words really capture what Bitochem really is. Bitochem is all about two words, Menuchas HaNefesh. That's what it is. Menuchas HaNefesh. And therefore, throughout our project, if we want to know, have we become improved Baalei Bitochem or not, very simple, solitary litmus test, and that is, are we leading lives on Menuchas HaNefesh or we're not? The more we have Menuchas HaNefesh, the more that is indicative of a strengthened level of Bitochem. We must point out, and I'm sure we have done already, and we will refer to this continuously, the Baal Bitochem doesn't necessarily have an easier life, as it were, free of nisyonos, free of difficulties. Not only that, when a person has difficulties, they certainly can administer pain and inflict pain and anguish on the person who's going through the nisyon. That's not what we're discussing. Rather, we're discussing the mindset during the pain. If somebody cuts off, if somebody steps on your toe, if somebody has an injury, yes, that will hurt. That's nothing to do with Bitochen. A person could be the biggest Baal Bitochen in the world. If you step on your toe, that hurts. That's not the Shaila. The question is, do I lose my Menucha, my tranquility, my serenity as a result? Or am I living with a constant awareness that everything that happens to me is Latoiv, everything that happens to me is decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I think it is worthwhile, and more than worthwhile, very important to point out the following at this juncture. What is the difference, or is there a difference, between Emuna and Bitochem? An absolutely fundamental question. What's the difference, or is there a difference, between Emuna and Bitochem? Now again, when it's translated into English, it doesn't quite capture it. Emuna is normally translated as belief, and Bitochem as faith or trust. None of those words really quite capture the middah of Bitochem or Emuna. We will go with the phenomenal words of Rabbeinu HaChazon Ish, whose yahrzeit was just last week. The Chazon Ish, in fact, has a sefer called Emuna u'Bitochem. And in the actual title of the sefer, belies deep meaning. Emuna u'bitochen. So what is this sefer about? Is it about emuna, or is it about bitochen? The Chazon Ish explains for us a fundamental yesod, and that is emuna and bitochen are one of the same thing. And that's why his sefer is indeed called Emuna u'Bitochen. It's two halves of the same coin. The way the Chazon Ish words it, phenomenal wording, and that really captures everything we're going to learn now. He says, Emuna is the halacha, Bitochen is the lamaisa. Very, very profound words of the Chazon Ish. Again, Emuna is the halacha, Bitochen is lemaisa. Let's try and explain a little bit in real terms. Emuna is, as it were, a state of being in which I believe or I don't believe, I have faith or trust, whatever you may call it, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs my world. Everything that happens to me is decreed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's halacha. What we're learning is not emuna. We're learning bitachin. Bitachin means the practical application of emuna, to live emuna. That's what bitachin really is. Bitachin is living emuna. So it doesn't just remain in the realms of yediyah, knowledge, halacha, rather something abstract, something that I have to do, but rather it's something that I do, something that I live with. I live with bitachin. That's what the Chazon Ish meant when he said, emuna is the halacha, bitachin is the lemaisa. So again, somebody has a very difficult situation which he's going through. Emuna, he might be absolutely fine. He believes, belev, ubenefesh, ubeseichel, uberoish, ubeyedia. He absolutely believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and he believes that everything that he's going through is the Torah. But where he falls short is living that in reality. And again, the litmus test is, because even though he knows it, he has this knowledge, yet he feels that when he's going through this nisayon, he has no menuchas hanefesh. He has no tranquility, no serenity. So then his struggle is converting the halacha into the maisa. That's really what the Chazon Ish is teaching us. Bitochen is not a different project to emuna. It is converting the emuna, which is halacha, into the maisa. Which, by the way, is exactly the same as many other midos. If we talk about somebody who is an onod, he's a very modest person. A person may well know all the halachas of being an onov. But until such point that he lives as an onov, and it's not converted lemaisa, then all that knowledge is totally worthless. So if the minute that chas v'shalom, you tamper with his kavod, and he gets all upset, then all that knowledge about Anova, which has not been converted in the Maisa, cannot therefore be determined as a Midah Toiva of his. It's knowledge. He knows what it means to be an Anov, he knows why he must be an Anov, but he has trouble in converting that into the Maisa. So you cannot say that in fact he is a humble person. He just knows what humility is all about, and that's not the same thing. That is the Chazon Ish, the same with Emuna and Bitochen. And that is therefore the very deep meaning in the title of the Chazon Ish Sefer. Sefer Emuna u'Bitochen, the title is itself the giveaway. Emuna and Bitochen is the same thing. It's not two different projects. Somebody asked me last week that if a person doesn't have Bitochen, could he be described as an apikoyrus or as a kofer b'Hashem? A very good question. In light of what we've just said, the answer is no, he's not an apikoyrus. If he doesn't have emuna, then he's an apikoyrus. Bitachain is based on an emunah. If somebody doesn't have bitachain, then it means he hasn't learned the chilas havavos. He hasn't converted that knowledge halacha into the ma'aser. He's not an afikayus. He believes, but he's struggling to convert that into reality. So this, therefore, is our equation. You cannot be a baal bitachain if you are not a baal emunah. You can be a baal emunah without converting it into bitachin. So therefore, when we talk about bitachin being a state of being of menuchas hanefesh, tranquility, of course, the basis for any project on bitachin has to be emunah. We have to be ma'amin be'emunah shalema u'beleiv shalem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dictating our world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running our life, that everything that happens to us is l'tayv, etc., etc. Of course that is the basis. The practical application thereof, that is our project of bitachon b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we mentioned last week, and this is how the Chiddush HaVavos launches his psicha to the Shaar HaBitachon, and he explains to us that every single person is b'teyach in someone or something, such that the question, am I a baal bitachin, is actually a misnomer. Why is it a misnomer? Am I a baal bitachin? Of course I'm a baal bitachin. The question is, what am I b'teach in? Every person is b'teach in something or someone, and very often in themselves. So are they baal bitachin? Absolutely. But they've been b'teach in the right and the wrong koyach. When we're talking about being mischazik in bitachin, of course we're talking about being b'teach b'Hashem. And the Chiddush HaVavos introduced us through a tremendous chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that I will engage with you as a mirror image of the way that you engage with me. If you are b'teach b'Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes your mivtach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running your world. And if you are b'teach in a different form, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to an extent, removes that hashkocha. And the classic example, and I think we mentioned this last week, is Yosef HaTzadik in jail. So he chooses to be b'teach in the Sar HaMashkim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's absolutely fine with me. If you can manage without me, then manage without me. See what happens then. So now, you are totally dependent on the whim of the Sar HaMashkim. And if he forgets about you for 2 years, then you languish for 2 further years. And that's what the pasuk means. Baruch HaGever HaSheYitzach B'Hashem. Blessed is the person who is B'Teach B'Hashem. Do you know why? Because if he's B'Teach B'Hashem, V'Hoyo HaShem Mivtachoy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes his security. If you are b'teach in someone or something else, then that someone or something else will become your security. We'll see where that gets you. So again, is it a mitzvah to be b'teach b'Hashem? It might not be a mitzvah. But Baruch HaGever, how praiseworthy and blessed it is, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your security. And we finish by going through the various stages, the Chiddush HaVavos explains that if a person is b'teach in his own chokhmah, if a person is b'teach in his own wealth, he may well fall short. The money might not be accessible. The money might not be able to be benefited from. The money might actually be his own undoing. You want to be b'teach in your own money? That's absolutely fine. Let's see where that gets you. Again, the Chiddush HaVavos is trying to get us interested and see the milas of being b'teach b'Hashem. So the first mila that he's introducing to us is that extra special hashkocha that a person is zoicha to by being a b'teach b'Hashem. The second mila, says the Chiddush HaVavos, is that when someone is b'teach in a different koyach, in a different person, then he necessarily, to an extent, is an eved of that person, thereby diminishing his status as an eved Hashem. It's either or. You cannot be subservient to two koichos. You have to decide who your master is. And he explains in very, very detailed terms, as always. And he says, let's give an example. Imagine somebody finds themselves in a terrible financial situation. The Baal Bitochen Bakodesh Baruch Hu, besides for realizing that this is all a toiv, he realizes that with the correct amount of ishtadlus, etc., etc., which we will discuss in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'ezras Hashem will sort out his situation. That's true. What happens if somebody is not Be'iteach Hashem? Rather, he places all his trust, all his security, in the hands of one particular wealthy individual. He is going to be the great Moshiach. So you knock on this person's door. After having spent weeks of trying to get yourself into his good books and having to praise him and commend him and flatter him, imagine you enter his mansion and he sits you down and you're hoping to solicit a donation of $60,000. This wealthy individual has your attention and he starts sprouting forth some hashkafas which actually you don't agree with whatsoever, and in fact you feel they are neged da'at Torah. What are you going to do now? You're going to argue with him? You're going to say, I don't agree with you? Well, there's your $50,000 out the window. So you find yourself being an eved to this person. I certainly, says the Chodos Tavolos, I'm not going to give him pechocha. Well, I should rebuke him in his own home when I see his checkbook dangling in front of my eyes. So I become an eved to this person. I become restricted. Says the Chodos Tavolos, I become extra careful over and above the correct level and being mechabed this person. I therefore necessarily have diminished my status as an Eved Hashem. I am not subservient to anybody. The great example is our Goyim, Godel Bo'idlam, Rav Chanan Vasterman, Hashem Yimkoyim Domei. Rav Chanan Vasterman was known as a big Kanoi. And Rav Chanan Vasterman once came to London, to Stamford Hill, on a fundraising mission for his yeshiva in Baranovich. And he, with his Das Torah, this is recorded, documented, felt it was necessary to take a stance against the opinion and hashkafas of some of the people in the shul where he was davening and was hoping to gain their donations, specifically with regard to secular Zionism, which was of course very much a hot topic at the day. And Rav Chanan launched into a whole drosha, we've actually discussed on another occasion what he said in that drosha, and it's documented. People were very upset, very put off, and some people left the shul. But Rav Chanan was undeterred because he was a Beiteach Hashem. So if he was a Beiteach Hashem, so why did he become fundraising in the first place? So he felt that was a necessary level of his status, but he felt it no less necessary to be mechanech them in Hashkafat HaTorah. But again, somebody who is not a Beiteach Hashem would have felt that even though there are people here who are not living with Hashkafat HaTorah, but who am I to tell them off? I'm hoping to get their donations for my yeshiva. So then you're not Beiteach Hashem, you're Beiteach in their wallet and their checkbook. So then you cannot be considered, if that's the case, to be a genuine Beiteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says the Chodos Tavolos, is the second mile, the second great Te'eles Ruchni. Remember, for the moment he's discussing the Te'eles Ruchni of being a Beiteach Hashem. Not only are you Zeicha to extra special Hashkocha, which allows you to be a better Eved Hashem, number two, you are not subservient to anyone or anything else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. I remember one of my Rebbeim, Rav Davidovich, once said to me in an honest moment, he said, you know, there's a very young Rav in this particular neighborhood, and I'm very impressed with him. I said to him, why so? So he says, because even though he's known as a Talmud Chacham, but he's come to me to ask me a number of questions to seek my advice, I'm very misspelled, that's the way it should be. So I said to him, I've heard, not about this Rav Chas V'Shalom, but I've heard that sometimes young Rabbonim, they move to the neighborhood and they like to test and catch out the senior Rabbonim. So maybe that's his intention, I have no idea. Why are you so impressed? Aren't you scared that he's trying to catch you out? And he looked at me, I'll never forget, he says, scared that he'll catch me out? I'm only scared of the Rabbonim Shalom. That's what he told him. That's what we're talking about. Somebody who's not by Teyach Bashem is worried about his reputation. He's worried, what will happen with this? And what if they say that? And what if I'm thought of in this way? He said, I'm not scared of anybody. I'm just scared of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what he told me. I remember in my early years here in Gimel, there had to be a certain decision taken in the shul. So I was misyayet with my Rebbeinu. And I discussed it with Rav David Dovich, a particular topic. Should we introduce this in the shul? Should we not introduce this into the shul? And he advised me whatever he advised me. And I said to him, okay, obviously I'm going to take your advice on board and apply as you advise me. But I said to him, you know, I'm wondering, what will people in the streets, what will the general neighborhood think of the shul if indeed we introduce the following policy, whatever it may be? What will people think? And again, I remember he said to me, what will people think? He said to me, do yourself a favor. If you become a rav of a shul, don't think about what the man in the street thinks of your shul. Just think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks of your shul. And that's the point that we're talking about. If you're a Beiteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's who I'm subservient, and that's who I have to give accountability for. What other people think of our shul, what other Rabbonim are trying to catch me out, I'm not their Eved. I'm not here to flatten them, I'm not here to mechaber them, I'm not here to impress them. I'm here to be an Eved Hashem. The third Maila, the third Tehillah of being a Baal Bitochen, a Bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says B'chayla Salvavus, is that if a person is indeed a B'teach Vashem, and as explained, he therefore has Menuchas HaNefesh, he therefore necessarily has a clearer mind with which to be Oyver Hashem. A person is Torus. He loses his tranquility every time something gets him upset. And that happens often. Again, he will necessarily be a diminished Eved Hashem. Try concentrating on a difficult piece of Gemara where you just lost your Menuchas HaNefesh. Try learning a sugya where there are four opinions in the Gemara, and a machloikas Rashi and Tosfos have to learn the four opinions, and a machloikas Marshan and the Kvega, what's in the three Tirutim Tosfos. Try that when you have your mind spinning because you're upset that somebody insulted you, and you've got big kashas on the Rebbeinu Shalom, why didn't you? Why weren't you Zoicha some more Parnasa, etc., etc.? You've lost your Menuchas HaNefesh. And if you've lost your Menuchas HaNefesh, you are necessarily unable to apply yourself to become an Eved Hashem. Somebody who's the Menuchas HaNefesh is at all stage calm, serene. Like we said, he might be undergoing difficulty, he might be undergoing pain, but he doesn't, as a result, lose that Menuchas HaNefesh. He has a clear mind, he's able to daven the way he should daven, he's able to engage in chesed the way he should, he's able to learn the way he should as well. And here, the Chayvus Halvavus introduces us to a moshel. Now it's very important, Rabbeisai, because we mentioned tonight the Yesoid Godoil, the Yesoid Otsum of the Chazon Ish, that Bitochain is Emunah Lemaisa, that's why the Chayvus Halvavus on a number of occasions, and we'll see this, gives us mesholim. It's got to be practical. If we leave our project of bitochen with a lot of interesting and even inspirational material and information, then we've not advanced. It's got to be real. It's got to be the maisa. The moshul that the Chayyus Havolas gives is the following, but we have to try and adapt it to the times and place that we live in. The moshul that the Chovetz Chabad discusses is the Baal Alchemia, which I think in English is translated as the alchemist. The alchemist was apparently a phenomena that existed in the times of the Chovetz Chabad. We're talking about the best part of 1,000 years ago, or 800 or 900 years ago. The alchemist deluded people, tricked them. This was his profession. People gave him all types of metals, cheap metals, and he had a whole concoction, various materials and chemicals, and he converted it, at least so his clients thought, into gold and silver. It looked, for all the world, like gold and silver. He was the Baal Alchemia, the alchemist. Now, why is the Chovetz Chabad mentioning the Baal Alchemia? Because the Baal Alchemia is, on the surface, the most calm, tranquil person, paranoid, guaranteed wealth at the touch of a button. Why are we telling us that we have to be a Beiteach Hashem? Or at least it's so worthwhile, this is the only derech to Menuchas HaNefesh. What about the Baal Alchemia? Now, as mentioned, we really have to apply this to modern day times, because as far as I'm aware, well, I'm not personally aware of any 2021 alchemists. But the concept exists today as real as it ever did. There exists the modern day alchemist, and we can all think of examples, and we can all think of people. We all know those who seem on the surface to be, as they call it in Ivrit, Masudar. Everything just seems to go their way, paranossa-wise. Everything they touch turns to gold. That is the modern-day alchemist. We can think of a top CEO of a big company where he just sits in the morning and counts the millions rolling in. We can think of some top entertainer superstar where just to turn up on stage, he's paid $50,000, got no overheads, all he needs to do is talk or sing or perform. That is the modern day alchemist. So we look at him on the surface as being the most calm, tranquil person on planet Earth. Doesn't he just have it all the way it should be? He's got Menuchas HaNefesh. So why, says the Chovetz Chabad, are we trying to market Bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the only road to success in Menuchas HaNefesh? What about the Baal Alchemia? That is the Chovetz Chabad. What about the Baal Alchemia? There is absolutely no comparison. There are 10 differences, no less, that the Chovetz Chabad enumerates between the Beiteach Bashem and the Menuchas HaNefesh that will therefore be accrued, as opposed to the alchemist. So in order really to appreciate what the Chovetz Chabad is trying to explain to us, we must bear in mind, and everybody should picture their own example of the person that we can envisage as the person who seems to be so botuach, so mesudar, just living Menuchas HaNefesh. He just has success and hatzlacha and parnasa rolling in with no effort. That's the person that the Chovetz Chabad is trying to say actually has 10 differences in his Menuchas HaNefesh as opposed to the Beiteach Bashem. So we'll begin and we'll continue this Be'ezus Hashem last week. See, there's one difference, again, is very practical. The Baal Alchemia, for all his delusion and trickery, but at the end of the day, he relies on his chemicals and his materials. And if one day there will be a shortfall, if one day there will be a shortfall in those materials, then he has no parnasa. So he's living a life of constant fear and worry. Will my materials be in supply or will they not be in supply? The Baal Bitochen Bashem knows that there's no such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run out of supply. There is no such thing. And he brings various examples. He brings the examples of Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi was in hiding from wicked devil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him food through the doves. They brought him food. There he was, holed up in hiding. So where's the supply going to come from? The alchemist who's stuck in a cave is indeed stuck in a cave. Not so the Boiteach Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send Parnasa for the most extraordinary, inexplicable, unexpected sources. There is no shortfall of supply. A second difference between the alchemist, and again, back to our example, think of the entertainer on stage who seems to be, as the whole world, eating out of his hands, and if he loses his voice one day, then it's all over. So he's based on his supply. Think of the big CEO, suddenly his shares and company can crash. Not so, the Boiteach Hashem has no reason ever to lose his Menuchas HaNefesh. Another difference, says the Chovetz Chaim, the alchemist, even if he has the material, has now got to put in effort, difficult effort, to produce this material that looks for the world like gold and silver. And how did he do so? He put it in a large furnace, boiled it up. There's the Chovetz Chaim, that has all types of danger and illnesses attached to it. His own business, his own work, might in fact kill him off. Dangers of the job. There are no dangers of being a Baal Bitochen. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that somebody who is a Baal Bitochen can never have an illness? Can never be unwell? Can never be sick? Is that the distinction that he's making? We know that's not true. There are plenty of tzaddikim, who rest assured were Boiteach Hashem, and they became sick. So the Chovetz Chaim explains and he adds some critical words. He says, they may well become sick. But everybody, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him, brings his way, whether health or sickness, yeh loy lesosayim ulesimcha. Lesosayim ulesimcha. Why would it be the cause of his sosayim the simcha? Because he doesn't just believe, but he lives emunah. He is the Baal Bitochen. He doesn't just know, but he feels that it's all the tov. In fact, just today, I picked up a book we had lying in our home of one of the Gedolei Yisrael, wasn't so well known, perhaps in his lifetime, he was a cousin of our family, a Gedolei Nagodol Ron Genachowski, who in fact passed away a few years ago from illness. And just today I read that when the doctor had to inform him of the bad news, he noticed that Ron did not flinch. And in fact, the Avraham said to him, thank you very much, you're an excellent doctor, you've done a wonderful job. And at the Levaya, in fact, one of the Maspidim said that the doctor afterwards commented, he's never in all his years seen anybody, any of his patients, with the self-control that he saw in Avraham Genachowski. Chas v'sholem to think that that came about through the fact that apparently he had a calm nature. Apparently he was of calm disposition. Chas v'sholem. That's the avodas hachayim in the middle of the tochen. Such that when he had to face bad news, he did not lose his menuchas panefesh. In fact, he had the state of mind, the presence of mind, to commend the doctor on acting in a very professional way. The doctor said he'd never seen somebody like that, because most other people struggle with every tochen. But a Gadol b'Yisrael, it's not just he happens to have been blessed with a calm nature. There's no such thing. It's an avoida. It's an avoida samidus. And he clearly excelled, as all Gedolei Yisrael do, in the Midah of Bitachon. For the simple reason that the Chovos Tavon has told us on his very opening line of the Psicha. You'll remember that the Chovos Tavon has told us that the greatest tool, the most necessary Midah to be an Eved Hashem, is the Midah of Bitachon. And therefore, of course, it's no coincidence that Gedolei Yisrael you will always see excel in Bitachon. Not only is it not a coincidence, it's precisely for that reason that they are Gedolei Yisrael in the first place. That's what makes them Gedolei Yisrael, because they are B'teach B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. They are the ultimate Eved Hashem. So that all situations, whether easy or difficult, you are able to face, as the Chovos Tavon said, the suffering, the simcha. Not so the alchemist. Not so the great CEO of the big company, or the entertainer, or any other modern-day alchemist who's b'teach in his own skill and his own paranasa, is running the constant danger. Not only will my materials run out, but if something goes wrong, he loses all his menuchas ha-nefesh. That was my security. What am I going to do next? The Baal Bitachin never has that question. What am I going to do next? Exactly the same as I've done till now. And that is the B'Teach B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll hold it over here. B'Ezus Hashem will continue next week.